Proverbs chapter number 2. We'll continue in our study of Proverbs, God's book of wisdom. Chapter 2 of Proverbs sends the reader on the treasure hunt, a quest for the treasure of God's wisdom. I'd like to believe, and I pray every day, that you have found great treasure as we begin to study God's Word in Proverbs chapter 1 and what we already have studied in Proverbs chapter number 2. So far in our study, we've seen God's prerequisites for acquiring wisdom found in verses 1 through 4. And then the last couple of weeks, we saw God's promises for the earnest believer in verses 5 through verse number 9. In that particular Bible study, we saw that we can have an intimate knowledge of God Himself. We saw wisdom for successful living. We saw protection from harmful influences. And lastly, we saw that we could have mastery in the true important areas of life. Tonight, we're going to continue, and we'll begin with the prescription for the believer's walk in verses 10 through verse number 20. And just for the sake of time tonight, we'll read Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 10, and verse number 11. So who'd read that for the pastor tonight? Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11, and then we'll have a word of prayer. All right, Danny, thank you. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord. We thank you for this time now that we have to open up your word. And Father, I pray as we begin to look at God's prescription for the believer's walk, Father, I pray that these truths that we glean here from this book of wisdom, your wise words, Father, to us, Lord, would really be applied to our hearts tonight. And Father, as we leave in a few moments, Father, we would take these truths. Lord, we become more than just having knowledge of God's word, but we'd have wisdom as we apply these truths to our life. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. In these verses, we find that Solomon really beginning to teach us how to follow a course of action in our life that's going to keep us on the right path. If you were to ask someone to define this word, a prescription, it would go something like this. It is a recommended course of action or treatment as a remedy for something, a way of making something right. And so as we think about this, the prescription for the believer's walk, notice the right course of action is laid out for us here in verses 10 and verse number 11. Notice, first of all, in verse number 10, we find a wise walk. We are to walk wisely and circumspectly. We ought to walk wisely and circumspectly. Nobody likes to take medicine, but it shouldn't be that way with God's medicine. And here's the truth. All of us are prescribed medicine. And you know what? But sometimes we don't like to take the medicine. Maybe we don't like the side effects of the medicine. Maybe we just forget to take it. Maybe it tastes nasty. Whatever the reason is for you not taking the medicine, most of us do not like taking medicine. But God's medicine should not be that way. Notice verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. That word when means at a time of, or it means in a particular situation, or at the occurrence of, or even at the fact of something happening. And that something happening would be this, wisdom entering into thine heart, or when the Bible says knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So this verse really, in verse number 10, begins to build on verses 1 through 9 that we already have studied. So when wisdom is being absorbed into our hearts, as described in verses 1 through verse number 9, and when godly knowledge is sweet to our soul, notice this word, then. You say, well, Pastor Dave, then is not in there. You're right. Even the word then is not found in verse number 11. I believe the concept is clearly taught. So notice this. When godly wisdom and knowledge have been absorbed, then, notice verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. So we could say this. If wisdom brings us discernment, then discernment brings us direction. Discretion is having the right discernment, which leads to the right decisions, or we could say the Bible term, the right judgments. We could say that discretion is counting the cost. An old English proverb says this, look before you leap. How many times have your parents or your grandmother have told you that? You better look before you leap, boy. You don't know what you're getting into. Well, that word discern gives the idea of noticing something that's not immediately obvious. My wife said, I'm not very discerning when I'm looking for my keys and they're right there on my desk as I walk out the door. She said, you're not very discerning, David. That might be true. But I find it's very similar in principle to the thoughts of judgment that's found in verse number 8 that we covered last week. I think one Bible commentator says it this way, discernment will fill a person's heart with wisdom and knowledge. God desires his wisdom to enter not only into a person's mind, but also his heart. Wisdom is not just to be mentally comprehended, it is to be obeyed. And when it enters people's hearts, it becomes a part of their character and shapes their life. And when the heart is changed and lives are changed, the soul is affected as well. God's knowledge, his word, then becomes pleasant to the taste. So we see here in verses 10 and 11 that we are to walk wisely and circumspectly. But then notice in verse number 12 through verse number 19, we are to walk separate from sin and sinners. How many say, amen, Pastor, I agree with that. We ought to walk separate from sin and sinners. In this verse, we'll see that we ought to separate from two different kinds of people. The first is a villainous, or the Bible term is an evil man, or we would say a vile, or the Bible term is a strange woman. You see, here's the truth. When we absorb the Word of God after searching diligently for it and receiving that godly wisdom, that wise discretion, that results will keep us away from the path of, first of all, a villainous evil man. Look in verses 12 through 15. The Bible says in verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Once again, we see the principle of separation. Notice the words, to deliver thee. You see, God doesn't promise to protect us from the evil man. Some people read that verse and they say, oh, God's going to protect me from the evil man. God does not promise that. But when God's word and his statutes are saturated in our heart, guess what happens? It produces godly wisdom. And that godly wisdom, the Bible said, will deliver us from, notice the wording, the way of the evil man. It will keep us separated from the way of evil men. Kind of reminded of Psalm 1 in verse number 1, that familiar verse that said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, when we think about the character of evil men, this passage describes in four different ways the characteristics of these evil men. Notice in verse number 12, we notice that their first character, they're first described by their words in verse number 12, the last part of that verse. The Bible says that speaketh froward things. That word froward, or in other words, we could use this term perverse, is derived from a Hebrew word that actually means to turn against. And it refers to anything that turn against God's righteousness and God's command as given to us in his Bible. So in the context of this verse, it's the ideas or teaching that are opposite of what the Father is teaching his Son. Remember, we saw from the very beginning in our study that Solomon is teaching his Son. And so we find that the ideas are that he's trying to lay out are those that a father is teaching his son that to stay away that are opposite of God's law. I want you to never forget that words are very, very powerful. Turn in your Bible to the book of James. James chapter number 3. I need someone to read verses 3 through 6. James chapter number 3, verses 3 through 6. As we think about these words, words are very, very powerful. Who would read James 3, verses 3 through 6? All right, Pastor James. Boy, that last part of verse number 6 really is a good summation of all that he says, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and set on fire of hell. Evil men try to draw people into their pathways with their very seductive speech. They're clever in making everything seem that's okay to do. They word it in such big flattering words that you listen to it and you go, well, that's not really a bad thing to do, although it's totally opposite of what God has to say and God desires for us to do. As a matter of fact, if you really think about this matter, it's a favorite tool of their master. Their master is none other than Satan. Think about it. He used it in the Garden of Eden against Eve in Genesis chapter number 3 in verses 1 through 5. He used it against Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 in verses 3 through 9. So if he used it against Adam and Eve and he used it against Jesus, why would we think not that he would try to not use it against us? And if we're not careful, he'll use his scheming words to lure us away from God and from his word. Well, we see that it's described by his words, but notice in verse number 13, we see it's described by their walk. Notice back to Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll look at verse number 13. Who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Although Solomon wrote this over 3,000 years ago, this principle, this truth really hasn't changed since that time. Notice how today that evil men are described as departing from uprightness. They leave the path of uprightness, literally, we could say this, the well-trodden road of uprightness. And used in this context, that word leave means to abandon, or it means to depart from. And it describes literally a person's deliberate choice to abandon the path that God's people have followed. Understand this, that evil men always follow the way of darkness. In John 3 and verse number 19, Jesus said this, and this is the condemnation that light is coming into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Then the great prophet Isaiah says this in chapter 5 in verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Godly wisdom will shed a light on and prevent and protect a person from their sin. And then notice in verse number 14, notice as we look to the characteristics of evil men, we know them by their words, we know them by their walk. And notice in verse number 14, we find that we know them because they're described by their pleasures. Notice verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Evil men love the way that they are, and they love the way that they live. As a matter of fact, we could even say this, that the evil crowd or evil man rejoices or even laughs about their own sin. They enjoy doing sinful things. They enjoy living that lifestyle that they're in right now. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they delight, or we could even say this, they take pleasure in the perversity of other evil men. That word froward here in the context has the sense of being perverse, twisted, or devious. And so we see, as we close for tonight, we see that the characteristics of these evil men are words and their walk and their evil pleasures in verse number 14. Next week, we'll pick up when we meet again. We'll look at not only the villainous evil men, but in verses 16 through 19, we'll take us a while to step down through that. We'll see the vile or the strange woman. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this time that we have in the Word of God tonight. And Father, I do pray, Lord, that you'll be a help to us, Lord, as we would think about these truths that we have learned tonight. And Father, there's so much that we can absorb the truths from the book of Proverbs. And Father, as we would think about these villainous evil men,